Part 2. If you can't slap them, snap them. That's the motto of Hollaback, a website devoted to fighting street harassment through blogging and cell phone cameras. A typical post on the San Francisco affiliate site describes a man on the BART giving a free show to the woman across the aisle from him, all the while peeking over his paper to see if she's noticed. Above the story is a picture of a bald African-American man wearing very short shorts, whose face is concealed by a newspaper, but whose junk, due to aforementioned shorts, is quite visible. A few weekends ago, my assistant producer Josh and I went to interview the woman who made this special moment possible. The sharing of it, that is, not the flashing. Her name is Jessica, and she's the founder of the San Francisco affiliate of Hollaback. I asked her how she got involved at the site.
Hollaback actually is a national phenomenon that was started in New York. And at my job that I'm currently at, I used to round up all the news for the day that had to do with environmental stuff. And on one of these news feeds was a story about Hollaback, New York. And I read it, and I thought, you know, how come there isn't one of these in San Francisco? And I emailed them and asked if I could start one for San Francisco, and they were really enthusiastic. And I just started one within a couple weeks. When I started it, I thought there must be other women out there who want to tell their story and who want to get this down on paper, in a blog, if you will. But when I started it, the way that the reaction that happened was women were writing in about things that had happened in the past. So they had been bottling up these stories, and some of them were pretty bad, some were pretty mild, but they had been holding on to these stories for years, and then they had this outlet to write about it. Well, I mean, there's the just walking down the sidewalk and someone's like, hey, baby, or you're fine or whatever. And it's like, you know, that's annoying, but not that bad. I mean, luckily, I haven't been physically threatened ever, but my girlfriend at the time who I was with was physically threatened by a man because she's androgynous. And it was really scary. And there were people around and the other people weren't. They didn't say anything, they didn't do anything, they just kind of were watching, like, what's going on, what is he going to do, and that was probably the worst that I've had. Although, that's not true. I mean, at a BART station, I had a guy come up to me, I was sitting listening to my iPod, and I had a guy come up to me and start saying just really crude things about what he wanted to do to me and this and that, and I was just like, you know, get away from me. I'm waiting for my train, you know, like, I'm not asking you to come over and talk to me, and so, I mean, I could go on. I'm trying to think of other specifics, but there's just a lot. It's just something that for women, for most women I know, it happens so often that you, unless it really stands out or it's like really intense, you kind of just put it in the back of your mind and go about your business because otherwise you would be really angry and upset all the time. Street harassment is really just about power. At least that's what I think, and I know the founders of Hollaback New York feel the same way. It's basically just about power play and, you know, who has power in the public sphere. And so for women to be able to take back some of that power by making it unsafe for harassers, I think that is ultimately the point of this whole project, is to balance out the power. Yeah, it's basically just bringing all these groups of friends that talk about it together and, you know, making it more of a grassroots movement, making it a ton of people who are talking about it and who are saying, okay, this is happening in every city and all over the world even. I mean, there's sites in other countries now too, so. Most women I know are like, that's awesome. Why hasn't this been around longer? Guys I know range from like, oh, that's great, you know, that shouldn't be happening, to, oh God, what if I say the wrong thing and they take my picture? Or what if I have harassed someone and I didn't know it in the past? Which is not, I don't think that's a very realistic fear, personally, but it really runs the gamut. I haven't actually talked to any men who are like, who have said, that's wrong, or you shouldn't be doing that, or why can't guys just harass people on the street? I've never come across that yet, so. Mostly I've just gotten people writing in, women, I had some women who write in and they say, oh, I can't believe this is here and I didn't know about it, this is great, I'm so excited, I'm gonna write in all my stories. And I actually had a guy write in, and it was really great feedback, and he said, you know, I'm a conservative Republican, and I don't think it's okay that people do this, that men harass women on the street. And I think that what you're doing is great, and I think people assume that I wouldn't support it, but I do. And it was just, I think that was my favorite thing that I've gotten in the inbox for the site, because it was just, like I said, like it was just not stereotypical. He was very supportive and excited about it, and so it's like maybe he's going to go tell his friends now. Writing law about street harassment is next to impossible. It's just really not something, because, you know, I don't want there to be laws saying you can't say certain things in public. And it is about the tone, and it is about the intention, and that's not something that you can enforce, that a cop can enforce. It's just not, especially when there's no physical exchange going on. So I think that a grassroots movement where it's just a change in the way that people think about it even is necessary, and I don't think that can come from the top down.
So all you can really do is document it and make sure that everyone knows that it can be documented, basically, right?
Yeah, I mean, documenting it so that people know that it's not just going to be tolerated, you know, that people aren't just going to brush it off and go about their business.
Holla Back seemed like a website that was using the powers of the Panopticon for good rather than evil. But we wanted another opinion, so we sought out Eli Edwards, a third-year law student at Santa Clara University and intern for the, well, I'll let her introduce herself.
My name is Eli Edwards. I am a third-year law student at Santa Clara University. I used to be a librarian, and currently I am, in addition to studying the law, I am a technology policy intern for the American Civil Liberties Union Northern California chapter. But yeah, the hollerback phenomenon, like I said, I really understand it. Being a woman, I've been harassed and catcalled and, not physically accosted, but I've been in situations where I felt really uncomfortable. And so, and I was raised by a Southerner, so my behavior in public is very much guided by you're polite to strangers, you're formal, you are, you know, you don't go off, you know, you remain civilized. But that just adds to the frustration of, I really want to take this guy down, but my training prevents me. So the idea of having a place to vent about this with the extra incentive of I can call this guy out and perhaps warn other women or put them on notice, and maybe it'll be a deterrent, and maybe the next woman he tries this on, she'll be prepared and she'll be able to answer back, or if he gets out of hand, then there'll be other people watching. And it's, like I said, it's a very intriguing phenomenon, and I can totally see where it comes from and what the benefits are and why it's been embraced in a number of cities.
Do you think it works?
That's hard to say. I haven't really looked at it extensively. I'm not a feminist scholar, and I don't really study web studies, but I suspect to some extent it must work, or it wouldn't be as popular as it is. Mm-hmm. So, and I think from what I read of the website, they are using the right tools in terms of not encouraging women to, you know, confront them directly, but to, you know, take notes, get out your camera phone if someone is doing something, you know, obscene, you know, be ready to report, you know, just be careful. And then the warning function. So the idea of going to this website and, you know, seeing, oh, there's this guy at, say, the MacArthur BART who tends to flash women or something, mm-hmm. You know, so that you're not unprepared or even being able to forward that on to whatever appropriate authorities. I think there's quite a bit of power there. And it's just good to get it out. I mean, it's really frustrating dealing with sexual harassment. So, and I know a lot of women in various situations, they tend to think, maybe it was just me. Maybe I was sending the wrong signals. Maybe it was just a bad day, and they just sort of don't talk about it. But talking about it and seeing all those stories, I think, helps.
Eli goes on to admit that she can see how the site might be abused, but says as far as threats to privacy go, this one isn't much of a worry. It comes down to a reasonable expectation of privacy, and if you're hurling epithets in public, you don't really have one.
I think there are definitely those sorts of dangers that are attendant with the phenomenon, with the website. I mean, it's difficult because this is, quote, public behavior. So if you are able to, if you're experiencing someone who's yelling violent epithets at you in public, or they are flashing you in public, that's not protected activity, and there's not a strong expectation of privacy when you're in public. So you can't, so it would be hard for that person to claim that their privacy has been invaded because they are doing this in public venues. But again, as you mentioned, there is the possibility of abuse of someone making up false charges in order to get revenge or in order to humiliate or demean someone else. Mm-hmm. There is the possibility of just not having enough context to the situation. This could have been part of, you know, two people who know each other who may be fighting, and then something escalates, but we only see the side of one person. And if they get hit with the reputation of harasser, that could negatively impact their reputation in a lot of ways. It can get them in trouble with the law if there's an investigation, their reputation among their friends, their community, their coworkers, if this gets out, is obviously would be impacted. So there's some interesting privacy and interesting reputational issues that are also going on.
So, but those seem kind of like cases of individuals misusing the system. You wouldn't say that there's a problem with the system as a whole, it's just individuals who kind of don't take the proper time to give context or abuse it.
It's hard to say. I mean, there is a very large and yet unstated or understated argument going on nowadays regarding Web 2.0 and social networking and our ability to submit voluntary information, not only about ourselves, but about the people who surround us. So, I mean, for instance, I attend Santa Clara University, and last year, three undergrads got in trouble because they were at a party the theme of the party was based on Latino stereotypes, and they showed up in costume that exploited these stereotypes. And that was found to have violated the code of conduct at all the students, because it's a private school, it's a private Jesuit school. They it found that conduct violated the contract that they signed. Now, the way this got out was that at the party, someone was taking pictures, not the people who actually wore the costumes, not the Santa Clara students, but someone else was taking pictures, and they put those pictures on Facebook where everyone else in their Facebook profile could see them. And someone else in the Facebook profile saw it and thought, this isn't right, and complained to the administration, and these guys got busted. So there are huge issues nowadays as to what is our privacy in public? What can we do the nature of technology is changing so that we are under a lot of surveillance. And it's not always or necessarily government surveillance. There are, you know, cameras in the ATM. There's, you know, Google taking pictures for their new map feature, Street View. There are your friends or even strangers taking, you know, photos with their camera phone if, you know, in public, and the results going on to the web. So I'm not sure we have ever really been anonymous in public settings, but now it's possible to record things more easily that happen in public settings and distribute that and make it persistent and make it findable in ways that could be rather embarrassing, if that makes sense.